Let's welcome everybody into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. Where we're gonna reverse things today. We're gonna start off with our national program of our show, where we'll lead in with the Carolina Hurricanes advancing to the second round with a huge double overtime win. Sammy, you go first.
I thought
you like their third line.
I thought that I screwed up the lineup, so I was scared. But usually when you do something like that, I thought I screwed up the lineup, and I was like, buddy, feverishly looking at mine.
I've never been more scared to do a Leaf Hour edition of our show.
Never.
Than right now.
Not even
really?
Not even after eliminations have I been this uncomfortable leading into an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, boys. We're born for this.
I don't want you talking about the Leafs today. I think you need a break, buddy.
Emotional damage.
I would have loved you to tell me that like around one when I came in here. I would have just stayed home.
Last night, you guys did Leaf Talk, right, with Bunkus?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tuned in.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, I did. First time.
First time? Thanks for your support.
Yeah, no problem. And I tell you what, maybe some of the most pathetic analysis, sad analysis. Yeah. Between the three of you, I was scared. Like, especially you, Sammy, where listening to you last night on that show was like thinking of a child near a hot stove.
Yeah.
It's just.
You felt the need to protect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The good news is that the reaction pod, that Leafs Talk, exists. So Sammy can like be going to therapy, unburden himself immediately, and then come today with a more measured.
Did a good night's rest help you between your Leaf Talk last night and coming into our show?
It's really hard to talk about this. Like, at my core, and you know, it's doing this for as ever many years as I have, it's changed my relationship a little bit. But at my core, I am a diehard Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Mm-hmm. And
we've noticed.
The dream scenario for me is TV off, lights off, bed. Like, that is the dream scenario.
Coffin pose, just hands on chest.
Do not want to talk about it. There's nothing I want to say. Like, I just want it to pretend that it doesn't exist. And that now is not a reality that I can deal with. And doing the shows after is really, really hard. And coming in here today, I'd be lying to you boys if I said it wasn't really, really hard. But I have a lot of things that are rattling around in this crazy brain of mine right now. And I have to figure out what I actually want to say, because when you zoom out, the Toronto Maple Leafs are leading a playoff series 3-2.
They're okay.
I believe both of us picked the Toronto Maple Leafs to win this series in 6 games.
We did.
I did, yes.
It's really, as hard as I'm squinting right now, that's the most positivity I can come up with. But all the other stuff is pure ghouls and ghosts and negativity. So
that's
that
right.
There you go.
We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've come too far. There's too much to lose. Keep our composure.
A little quick on the trigger there. I had it lined up for something else, but he jumped all over me. So all good.
Our composure.
It's the same as it's always been. Like, you, no matter how ugly it is in elimination games, if there's still a chance, there's still a chance. Yeah. And whether we're talking about the Leafs or any of us, the reason why we keep going back to the golf course is like there's another chance.
Yes. Today's the day I'll be a new guy.
To get it right.
Yep, absolutely.
I'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah.
They still have a chance until they don't have a chance.
Of course. They have a better than average chance.
That's all he's saying.
80%. Right.
That's all he's saying. What else is there to go by?
I have nothing.
What else is left?
Well,
I have nothing else.
What else? The best predictor of future performance is, unfortunately, checking my notes, past performance. And so what else is there to go by leads to the inevitable conversations of it looked like it's looked. And so I, too, share your sentiments that I believe the Leafs are going to win the series. I believe that they'll win on Thursday night in Ottawa. I genuinely do believe that. But there's no doubt now that you can't even call it an elephant in the room because we're all looking with the elephant. We're hanging out with the elephant. We know about the elephant. Mm. It's just crazy that the elephant's here.
It's arrived. It is blown down the door, and the elephant is here.
This is the same cast of characters.
Maple Leafs in potential series clinchers since 2018. One win and 13 losses. 23 goals scored, 48 goals against. Their power play is 1-for-31 for a 3.2%, and they have 2 shutout losses over that time.
Ooh. Who scored the goal?
Kipper, do you have any idea? Any idea who scored the power play goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs? In a power play goal in an elimination game, the last one?
I'll say Gary Volk.
Not that far off.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Marleau.
Okay.
In 2018. The last time a power play goal was scored by a Toronto Maple Leafs in an elimination game, it was Patrick Marleau. We have it.
Mm.
Oh, my God. What a producer, Jake.
And it's color, hockey. Which helps.
Game 7, first 2 minutes of the game, 29 would be Willie then. Willie was wearing 29.
And that's Andreas Johnsson hopping
got
in there.
An assist.
Andreas Johnsson out there.
Jake Gardner with the shot. 2018.
Okay. It's
been the year 2025.
I get the point. It's been a minute.
Okay.
This era of Leafs hockey, Kipper, is putting together the most unclutch resume in the history of professional sports. There's no other way to put it.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Close?
No, there's nothing.
1-13?
But I used the reference of Jean Vandeveld, but he was one man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
1-13. That's physically almost feels impossible.
So when you say that you truly believe.
Yes.
That they're going to win.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's based on just the percentages of the more at bats you get.
Yeah.
There's got to be at some point you're going to get a hit.
Nope. I believe that their hockey team is better than Ottawa's hockey team. And I, as much as you can twist it all around into they haven't done it past whatever, I don't look across the rink and see.
Where are they better?
Well, I mean, look at the regular season. We pick a stat, they're better. They scored more. They gave up less. Their goaltending was better. Their power play was better.
Regular season,
yes.
Okay, but this is the playoffs.
And the first three games,
Tighten up and things get more intense.
Sure.
But they have yet to prove over their careers that they could rise to that level yet.
Of course.
So if you tell me they're more talented, if you tell me that the regular season stats are better, it doesn't equate to what is going on in the here and now.
Yep.
5-on-5, it was pretty obvious.
In the past, I've looked across at the other team and thought, God, that other side has some stone-cold killers, and that'll be the difference. It's going to be Kucherov, Hedman, Nick Paul, and the crew, or it's going to be Barkov and Reinhardt and all
but
those.
But it isn't going to be Stützle. No. It's not going to be Tkachuk just yet. It's
Marchand,
not going to be Sanderson
Pastrnak.
Right.
And on this team, I don't see those guys on that side as good as they are. I'm not saying they're not good players. I'm saying they're not on that Hall of Fame echelon yet. And the Leafs have the best D they've ever had. I think if the D can keep them close again, at some point they're going to score some goals.
Okay.
I know it sounds insane. It sounds insane, but I do believe it.
Okay. I mean,
I don't believe.
Nor should you. I'm the one who's out on a limb here.
Gun to my head, 100% losing Thursday, 100% losing Saturday. Gun to my head. I don't know.
And I can't go either way. I'm not strong on they're going to find a way, and I'm not strong on they're going to blow it.
Yeah.
So I'm just I've been around this game a lot longer. I'm a little older, but it's as if I'm watching this team for the first time ever.
So funny you say that. People who you run into on the street, you're the expert, and they go, what's going on? Are they going to win tonight? And, I find myself being I should have an answer aside from I have no clue. I don't know what to expect. So, Kip, I think Sam and I have kind of painted how we feel about last night a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Really comes down to me this time of year. your leadership group. And last night they lacked leaders, leaders among men. They had a ample opportunity after coming close to in Ottawa the other night to really buckle down in front of your fans, your town. You had a chance to really double down on this is different. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't.
Nope.
And you missed that opportunity. And they lacked leadership last night. It needs to surface tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And we know who they are. And they were insulated differently this year. And we thought up until this week, it was the difference. Mm-hmm. But it's not enough of a difference if these core guys, and it's always the core guys. Mm-hmm. In our sport, it's the core guys. They don't step up, man. It's hard. It is really hard. Edmonton last night for me, not to, you know, we got a national show, but last night, Draisaitl and McDavid needed guys around them to step up. Mm-hmm. And to me, they won the game without Draisaitl and McDavid needing to carry them. But up until then, they were it for the Oilers. And we have yet to see that out of the Leafs in elimination games.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, like, they have gotten moments from guys outside of the core in this series. Like, that's the thing. That's the difference. Where Simone Benoit scored an overtime goal. Oliver Ekman-Larsson has two goals in this series. Max Domi scored.
But it can only go so far until your guys and have to be your guys, your main guys, your leaders.
And that's what the difference is. When it gets to these games, you need your highest paid superstars to take over. And quite frankly, none of them were any good at all last night. And I think all of us can sit here and agree.
Let's go to Craig Berube on his overview of the game.
Good start. They got the first goal. Thought they defended pretty well after that. I thought, we make a bad play on the power play. Like we didn't, we had an opportunity on the power play to, get it back and didn't happen. We got to be more direct there with our power play. I didn't think our power play was direct enough tonight in, shot volume and getting stuff to the net. But, we got to, and then the third period, that power play hurt us.
I thought their power play looked really good before the Nyes penalty.
Yeah, it did. It was
four
right,
shots
right
or
where
something.
It's been earlier on in the series without actually scoring a goal.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about Austin Matthews. You know, he has that pizza turnover in just a 1-0 game. He has a 2-on-1 where he airmails one. You know, the one where he airmailed it, I was texting someone at the time, might have been you or whoever, and just said, like, if Steven Lorenz were on that 2-on-1, what would he have done differently? You know, no fakes, no deception, doesn't look over, to self pass, just shot it over the net. And then Lorenz came down the next period after I sent that text in the same spot and made the best move of the team. You know, showed some poise, cut to the middle, brought it back. I know it went on a little longer than we would have liked, and he didn't put it away. But it's baffling watching Matthews look like a 20-goal scorer.
60, 70-goal scorer, and you got to hit the net.
And not just hit it. Like, give me a lean, a pump, a juke.
Does he freeze this time of year? Is that a frozen moment? Because it doesn't look anything like he does when he's at the height of his regular season greatness.
Well, it looks a lot like it looked for a long stretch of this season,
yeah. But still, Sam, even when he's not looking dynamic or whatever, you put him in that spot with the puck, he does that cheeky thing where your goalies think he's going to put it up by the ears and he'll just whip one along the ice and, like, goalies are looking at the ceiling, something you don't expect him to do. And it's just like, man, I didn't expect him to do that. Anyway.
It's now, I think it's 2 goals in his last 15 playoff games for Austin Matthews. You become the captain. They strip Tavares the captaincy. They put it on you. I'm sure he's feeling a total new sense of pressure.
He's never gone. I don't believe that this town has ever, I don't know if the right word, turned on him. Like, we've seen it through for Marner. multiple times. But what I'm hearing from last night to tonight is a whole new world on the way fans are looking at him today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the main reason is that he's the captain, is that this organization made the decision to take it off of a hometown guy and put it on him at the start of this very important year. Tavares is in a contract year. And I think being the captain of the Leafs, having this offensive responsibility, all this different stuff for this team.
He's feeling it.
No, I don't think that. I think that changed the perception amongst people because I totally agree, Kipper. I think Matthews has worn a lot, but not as much as Marner. I'll agree with you on that one. But right now, I don't think there's any comparison in who's taking it worse right now between Marner and Matthews. Mm-hmm. Like, Marner has still looked very similar, like he's looked. Maybe it's people think he's leaving, whatever. It's just they're used to that.
Yeah.
But the Matthews thing right now is taking it the worst.
The ship's kind of sailed on Mitch, and maybe it might be because people
think he's
believe
leaving.
He's leaving, yeah. So they're not going to sink a lot of energy into it right now. But the focus on Matthews now going into game six, I can't think of a more important game he's ever played his whole life. I don't care if it's World Juniors. I don't care if it was Four Nations. I don't care where he's played. Game six will be the most important 60 minutes of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, right? Because, like, he has the security and the contract and the captaincy. They're not going to trade Matthews if it looks like last night in game six. But in terms of what you said about Marner and people at times turning on him, whatever, Matthews would very much be eligible for that sort of treatment, I feel like, where people are
it's happening.
Yeah, it's currently happening.
It's happening.
So I agree. And the one thing I do take some comfort in is, like, you know, you've seen him in big spots, his first game of his career or, you know, whatever, where he's you feel like he can find it a bit. But I do think that it'll be interesting to see if this has his attention a little bit, if he's aware of the way that people are talking about it now.
And can he handle it? Is it going to make him stronger? Is it going to push him? Or does it...
Crossroads.
Does it sink him even deeper than what he's already in right now?
I don't think he can, quite frankly. If I look at his elimination game stats over his career, boys, I don't know if he can handle it. He can prove me wrong on Thursday. He can prove me wrong potentially on Saturday. That's fine. But the thing, like I said this a bit on Leafs Talk, and you listener, big listener, thanks, Kipper, last night. But these two games have just totally changed what the feeling is around this version of the Leafs. Where if they finish that off in overtime, Matthews pokes that over the line, they sweep them. You're allowed to dream about going, even if they win this series. You got the Florida Panthers. You can barely beat the Ottawa Senators. It just changes the total feel around this team and even around him. It does.
The thing, you know, and then I watched Marner in that game last night. And the one thing that he does in these games that drives me a little crazy is there's a chance at the Leafs end and the puck squirts out and goes to him. Chance to push it back the other way in a rush. And he does that slow lateral, like let everyone get back and get set up. Both of them feel like they just don't have that, like, now it's our turn to go. Like, put them on their heels. Make them answer the question. And I don't know. I don't know how you inspire that, but you have to almost be comfortable in that. And I don't know that you can just do that by choice.
It's not a choice. It's in you.
Yeah.
It's spread. Like Willie Nylander, like, I don't know, for those of you that are watching our program, we just showed the shorthanded goal. Mm-hmm. Can we go back and see it one more time? Because just watch Willie Nylander on the back check. Please, guys.
Yeah, you know,
tell me.
It's a minute and a half in.
How? I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Okay? If you're going to be out there a minute and a half, then you better have enough juice to come back and help. But he is almost lined up with Cousins here.
I mean, he's ahead of him.
He's ahead of him. And I think Mitch Marner's playing more on the strong side because he thinks Willie's going to come back. And he just shuts it down. Like, to lift up before the puck gets to Cousins, to me, is quitting on the play. What happens if he gets a save and there's a rebound? Like, why do you quit? Because you've been out there a minute and a half? Yeah. This is the playoffs, man. This is your season, your legacy, all of that will come back on these type of moments. I lack of leadership. Back to lack of leadership.
But you know what's funny, Kip, is like we're talking about these guys because Chris Tanev last night was
unbelievable.
He was so good. The pucks, there were loose pucks around the goal line. Morgan Riley pulled two pucks off the goal line, one off the goal line, one that he just dove and kept a stick.
The Tanev play at the side of the net with Drake Batherson, where he's just like, I'm stronger and better at this.
You know, if the Leafs have, go through a list of D they've had in that spot in years past, that's a goal against.
Yes.
And Tanev just out-muscles someone. So my point about leadership, Jake McCabe, you know, whoever, they've got some leaders on the D, on the back end. No? You don't see it from Tanev, McCabe,
leaders,
Riley?
But they're not game changers.
No.
Your leadership has to come from the guys that can change a game. Those guys can defend. They can hold you into a 2-1 score.
Yes.
A 1-0 score.
Yes.
But they are limited. Yeah. They are limited. And it's just, it's enough until it's not enough anymore.
And then, so we're talking about the same thing. You can call it leadership, but it's just these guys playing bad. That's all, you know, like beyond those guys, we can point some fingers. I'd like to see more out of Bobby McMahon, whatever. But when, you know, if they were to lose a series, no one's going to go, yeah, but McMahon, you know, we'll mention it on our 10th show after the year or whatever. But
yeah, I might get a mention on locker clean out.
Yeah.
Let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on the Matthews line.
Craig, what did you see from the Matthews line tonight? Did they generate enough for your liking?
Yeah. I thought, like, not enough speed through the neutral zone with that line and then creating things in the offensive zone off that. Like, they were just a little bit late on things and didn't create enough stoppages in the offensive zone. And, you know, it was one and done too much for me with that line tonight, you know, in the offensive zone.
That's that speed through the neutral zone. I totally agree with that.
I like his answer. Maybe in November, early January.
You want him to lean on those guys now and say they stunk.
I think it's a card that all coaches at some point need to play. And again, I can appreciate wanting to keep things behind closed doors, but it's something head coaches do, and how hard they want to push publicly.
But they don't often in playoffs unless they've mailed it in on their team.
Oh, buddy, I saw the very best in Mike Keenan.
Yeah.
Like he benched Brian Leach the year we won the cup, one of the greatest American defensemen in the history of the game, shutting him right down, saying, I can't win with you.
Only argument there is that's Keenan's character. He did that. People knew he was about that. Berube hasn't done it once.
And
it would be crazy to wait till playoffs and be like, bleh, Matthews, you know, like.
To be fair, though, like, these guys going to respond well to extra pressure from their coach? I don't think that's necessarily the move either. Where you're like, yeah, we need those guys to be way better. We need those guys to be way better. I don't think that putting more pressure, outward pressure from the market on them is the recipe here, Kipper.
Well, let's listen to his. He has his clip 5 on his message to the team. Let's listen to that.
Stick with it. We're up 3-2 in a series. You know, it's playoff hockey. There's a lot of ups and downs. We need composure. I talked about it. And we got to stay composed and stay poised. And, you know, like I said, we'll figure out some things and be better next game that we'll work on, you know. But I'm not, you know, that's what it's about. We're up 3-2 in a series, so we're confident and we're going to go into Ottawa where we won a game already. So that's about it.
And if that's,
there it is.
There we go.
Who's that in the background?
That was Will Ferrell.
If his players are listening and they can appreciate that he has that feeling publicly, they got to step up for him, right?
There is one clip, sort of from today, on the whole core four, and he kind of alluded to it. So Let's play clip 7 and get your thoughts on this. This is from today.
It's on everybody, the team. Yeah, like he, I get it. It's all I hear around here is core, the core four. But it's on everybody, the team. We're a team, and, you know, it's on the whole team, not just four guys.
So
I appreciate his message and what he's doing for the team. You know, what do you say to Kip, to people who would say, you're overreacting, they're up 3-2, they're in a good spot? Because I wrote an article today that just, why can't these guys get it done? And, you know, I had a couple people reply like, hey, they're up in the series, write this when it's over. So I just feel like it's the bigger picture for people like us who've watched it for so long. It's not a trend from five games. But it's a trend from years.
Yeah, it's 1-13.
Yeah, it's a trend from years.
It is. It's 1-13 on elimination games. And is it coincidental? Is it just bad luck? Is it the referees? Is it what
injuries over the
what
years?
What is it? Right?
That's the other and one I get. Matthews is injured.
That's not team. Yeah. It's your nucleus that has to is the focal point on all of it. So I can appreciate what he's saying about the team, but this era 20 years from now, no one's going to remember the third or fourth line, man. They're just going to remember highest paid players in history not getting the job done.
All interchangeable at the end of the day. You know, the third and fourth lines. I know we like the ones they have this year, but looking back on these teams.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. There'll just be four or five names everybody will remember, and they won't remember when
Colin Blackwell played for them.
Blackwell or Lawrence or
Andre Kasha.
Kasha played, or Yarncroc played.
Sam Lafferty.
What year Nick Robertson played. Nobody will remember any of that. So
there is a way they could have lost that game last night and everybody wouldn't be freaking out.
Actually, that's a really good point. They get in an absolute 6-5 fire wagon hockey game.
There's a way you lose that game. It just can't look like it looked like that.
It's a constant. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose.
Absolutely. They lose 2-1 in game 7 of Boston.
So important in our game.
It is. You lose 2-1 game 7 of Boston. You lose 4-0 to Montreal in game 7. You lose 3-0 to Columbus in game 5. Mm. You know, score a goal.
Yeah.
Love of God.
Yeah.
And also just like, it feels like every year we, you know, they turn the opposing goalie into prime George Vezina. And, you know, I don't think they made it that hard on Ullmark last night.
No. And they're going to have to find a way to have a bit of a different look. And it's a constant. We know how talented these guys are. But I think they play this time of year as if my talent will take over. And the one thing about the greats, even the Gretzky's, the Lemieux's, the Messier's, is that their talent doesn't come first. The compete of these guys comes first.
Honestly, Sidney Crosby's probably never been better than the 10th most talented guy in the league or 20th.
But number one he's in just, compete.
Oh, just a freak.
Right?
Absolute and passionate.
Cares more, than, cares more than you do.
Yes.
Leaf fans have some of the most talented players on the planet when it comes to the game of hockey. But as far as their compete in critical moments, like elimination games, average at best.
Yeah. I mean, just like, you know, Kip, you've played enough road hockey scrimmage games where the temperature gets picked up and you're chopping at a teammate in practice. And you're like, you know, you just get that feeling.
A lot's been made out of Brady Tkachuk coming back onto the ice after game 5, and you could just feel it. We're coming back. Okay?
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, now you could sit there and say it's an act or it's like.
But he shot it in the empty net.
You know.
Yeah, he wasn't impactful.
When someone walks into a room, it's called having an aura. Okay?
Yeah.
And
much like you, Kipper.
You can feel someone's energy, you can feel someone's intensity. Mm-hmm. Brady has that.
Well, and they fed the beast last night.
Okay.
You know, these guys love their stats. They gave him freebies on the empty net. Now
who has that aura on the Toronto Maple Leafs? Who has that energy? Who has that intensity?
I don't know, not the intensity, none of them.
Stolars.
Matthew Nyes.
Stolars.
Matthew Nyes, by the way, standing up Shane Pinto last night was the highlight of the game. Not even close.
Doesn't.
I know.
By far the
I
only.
I know, it's great, and he's going to be a great player right now. Or he's going to be a great player one day, but right now he still doesn't look like he's ready. Like he's not ready to be the Leafs' best version of a Josh Anderson for the Montreal Canadiens this week.
I don't agree at all.
A Tom Wilson, a Brady Tkachuk. He's not ready.
You don't think Matthew Nye has been as good as Brady Tkachuk in this series?
He hasn't had the same influence on his hockey club like Brady
I
has.
Give Brady way too much credit. I think he's a great player, and I'd love to have him on my team. I don't think he's been...
Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But as far as the intensity
he
brings...
I get it.
As having the Leafs looking over their shoulder when he's on the ice, when he's not on the ice, when he's around the goalie, could he run my goalie? Could he punch me in the head? Could he put me through the boards?
Yeah.
You tell me if... Ottawa feels the same way when Matthew Nyes is on the ice.
Yeah, in 3 years, he could.
In 3 years.
Yeah.
In 2 years. But not right now.
Yeah, he's also not the captain and like the guy that they've built the entire thing around.
So it brings me back to my point.
Six shots outside of the game.
Who can do that this time of year for the Leafs?
Well, it's obvious, Kip, who has to do it. We're not curious about that.
It's missing.
It is.
Right? It's missing.
It is missing.
That brings me back to that energy, that intensity, that aura.
Mm.
We got to go, but...
Got to find it. Got to find it in there.
Just a quick, there'd be a lot of sickos from other parts of the province listening to this, just so other parts of the country, province, that are enjoying this a lot. But I'm so sick for my fellow Leaf fans.
Yeah, you can't, I think that's worth noting, Sam.
You can't even enjoy being up 3-0 in a series.
That was zero fun last night.
You get up 3-0, you can't just... be happy and excited because everybody's come back. Oh, you guys were excited. Yeah, we were. They were up 3-0. They had won 2 overtimes games. They were great for the first 3 games. You can't even get excited about that. You can't even get that. Anyways, we got to do a quick read before we head to break here, boys.
Yes.
And it's a reminder to golf fans out there, Sportsnet and Muskoka Bay Resort have come together with an amazing contest. Text word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to golf at one of Canada's top 10 ranked golf courses with a night in an incredible 3-bedroom villa for you and 3 friends. Just text word Muskoka to 590-590 for your chance to win. Visit sportsnet.ca/590contest for more details. Standard message and data rates may apply. Muskoka Bay Club, baby. Let's go.
Okay, we are in desperate need of a voice of reason.
Well, thank God.
Craig Simpson will do that for us after the break when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program, Leaf Hour edition. I got overranked on my flipping to the National Hour to start our show
Didn't
today.
Want to do Hurricanes talk.
you know how it's good time to talk sports that are in break conversations.
Hot.
Continued to be passionate. there was a passion in that.
We did more talking in that break than we have an hour before every show we've done in 4 years.
100%. That was,
But the good news
it'll
is.
It'll all come out on the mic.
The good
story.
News is we've got Craig Simpson ready to go here.
Thank God.
Simmer?
Help. Simmer, help.
Hey, you guys, I'm sitting in my hotel room watching you guys. And Sammy, I'm feeling for you and all your emotion. And I was like, I should just call in because I should be a part of this conversation.
Yeah.
I said, forget about coming in the last half hour. I said, I got to get involved with this now.
Thank you. Because up until now, we have solved nothing. We have offered zero to the listener and the viewer. So this is where you come in big time here. And Just talk to us in terms of what you saw early in the series and what you saw last night.
Well, what you saw last night was an Ottawa team, and I've kind of tried to lay that out as the series has gone on, that's learning how to play in the playoffs. That it came in with most guys having no playoff experience, and now you've got five times. You know, five games is a lot of learning curve. And, you know, Travis Green has said all along, we're going to try to get better with each and every game. We're going to try to find what playoff hockey is all about. And I think game five was the best example of that. You know, interesting. They only had 25 hits in that game. They actually got out hit by the Maple Leafs. And if you look at the first four games, the minimum they had was 44. I think this is a team that's learning. We don't need to run around and prove we're tougher. We don't need to run out of position. I thought they played a much more controlled game. And as you guys were saying, the Leafs dropped the ball on the opportunity to, in their most important game, maybe for this group, the most defining game of their careers, to say, yeah, this year is different. They failed. You know, they didn't come out and take the game over. They didn't come out and give the energy that you have to put a team away. And I'll tell you guys, the one thing I was most disappointed about was after the game and listening to everybody's comments after the game. I heard a lot of, you know, we knew Ottawa's a good team. We're still up 3-2. Mm-hmm. We're in control of this series. We know that the fourth game is the hardest game to win, all those things. And, you know, Ottawa's a good team. You give them respect, sure. What I didn't hear, and what's the most disappointing thing to me, and it would be as a teammate, I didn't hear one of the leadership group say, I failed tonight. I didn't play my best. You know what? We had an opportunity to change everything that's been talked about us for years, and I didn't execute to my ability. Our line wasn't good enough. Just give me something that takes some accountability that you missed an opportunity, you weren't at your best, but I won't let it happen again. And you can't win every game, and yeah, the fourth is the hardest, but I didn't hear any of that. I heard, oh, we had some good looks, and, you know, we had our chances, and forget it. You got to say that was a defining game and a defining moment, and I didn't hear anybody take ownership that they weren't good enough.
Yeah, you know, almost like spinning it forward right to the next game, right? Like, oh, you know, we got another chance at this, and it, rather than a look back and sort of self-assessment of how it went. You know, Simmer, I've always had this theory that, like, as an offensive player in hockey, it's almost like, you know, what do they say in law? The burden of proof is on the defense. You know, you have to go out and show that someone has done something. In offense, you have to go out and show something. You have to take it to the opposition and create something. When you're nervous and tight, it just does it get harder to think as clear, to be as creative? What is happening with these guys that they can't put defenses on their heels like they do all season long?
Well, and you can't be thinking about the end result. It's like when you get to the Stanley Cup final, you can't be thinking about what's at the end, which is hoisting the Stanley Cup. You think, what makes me the best player I can be? What makes our line click? When, well, it's A, you've got to work harder. You got to win every single 50-50 puck battle. You've got to impose my will on the guy I've been playing against, like in a series. That's the thing, especially when you're a top line guy, you're playing against the same bloody guy each and every night. So you have to make it in his mind that I can't handle this guy. Like, you've got to have that mentality that I'm going to go through you. I'm going to go around you. You're going to have to haul me down. I'm not going to take a cautious step. I'm going to be on my toes every single minute. And you have to make sure that guy knows he's not winning the battle against me. And if all three guys on your line, all two defensemen in that matchup, are doing that on a consistent basis, that's how you wear somebody down. That's how you wear a team. You take away their will to win or their belief that they can stay in this game. And because of a lot of what you guys were saying, the way that the Leafs have played, quite frankly, they've played all season, there hasn't been that push. There hasn't been that attack. It's been a more cautious and defensive-minded. They haven't had that attack mode. And I think it's allowed Ottawa to feel comfortable that they can handle it. They can handle the Leafs best at time. And that's what gets dangerous as you get to game 5, 6, and 7. Look at the historical numbers of that core group for the Leafs. games 1 through 4, pretty solid numbers. Games 5 through 7, when it gets tough, when the finish line is there and you're saying, yeah, we can get through this first round, that's when you have to dig in. How hard or how much are you willing to sacrifice to get the result? It's not about wanting the result. It's knowing I'll do anything to get through this shift. And there are some amazing, I'm sure, Nick, you've had it in playoffs where it is kind of a cathartic moment when you're in a battle and you've been on the ice for 45, 50 seconds, and then you just know you have to break through that proverbial wall and do something, and you have to push through it. And when everybody on the line has that same feel and that same commitment, it's the most powerful thing in hockey. And we see it every single year in the playoffs with teams. And let's face it, guys, there was none of that last night from the Maple Leafs. And there were some shifts to hold on in the defensive zone for Ottawa. I mean, they were scrambling. They had good sticks. They had battles in the corners. And I think that's where, you know, you missed an opportunity to not give a young team the confidence that, hey, you know what, maybe we can belong in this series. And that, to me, was really stood out, that it was a missed opportunity. And unfortunately, as you guys were talking about, that's been more commonplace than not.
You're listening to Craig Simpson, former NHLer, two-time Stanley Cup champion, Hockey Night in Canada analyst, covering Toronto Maple Leafs, the Ottawa Senators in round one here. So, Simmer, we have yet to see a Stanley Cup champion without leaders stepping up here. And, you know, you speak about those elimination games and the 1-13 where things tighten up on the Leaf leaders here. Can you imagine your cups, you know, over the years without leaning on key guys in Edmonton and Pittsburgh? For me, I don't even know what would have happened to our 94 team if we didn't have a Kevin Lowe or a Mark Messier to calm us down. Now, what is keeping these leaders from having that same effect on their hockey club when it comes down to these tighter games between 4 and 7?
Well, part of it is the experience of having the confidence to know what that does actually take. You know, when you haven't been able to reach that summit, when you haven't been able to push your team or even yourself in those critical moments to that next level of play, it's hard to be the leader because everybody's looking, you're going, that whole group's in the same boat. They've all had the disappointment. So, you know, it has to start somewhere. And I don't know if you listened, the very first shift Austin was on last night, there was an icing, we came back, and I just started talking that I looked at last night for Austin Matthews, that was a defining game moment where you could really change the narrative about what you are. This is an opportunity as a captain, as the best player, as a leader in the group, to take this team and bring them into the fight. And I just thought, I came into the game going, this is like, what an opportunity. It's there. You're up 3-0. Sure, you lost in overtime. Could have won that one too. That was the game and that was the moment. And that, what was so disappointing was they're just not able to get through. And Nicky said, you know, we both had Captain Mark Messier. Mark was my center for both Stanley Cups. And I can think, especially through 90, you know, we didn't have Gretz, so we had a very different looking team. We had some inexperience. We still had a bunch of, you know, four cup winning guys in the lineup. But I can remember game 5 in the Winnipeg series, we're down 3-1 in the series. You just knew it was a different game. And, you know, you take the lead of your captain. And if we're not playing well enough, that's what I meant about after the game. The captain goes, you know what? We didn't play well enough. I didn't play well enough. I won't let that happen again. And I wanted to hear some of that last night. You go into Chicago, game 4 in the conference final. We were even up 2-1, but Mess just had an aura and an intensity and a feeling like we all knew this was a game we have to win. Like there, and I don't think Toronto went into that game, even though they were up 3-1 the series, going, understanding and identifying, we have to win this game. We can't leave anything to chance because Sammy's going to be blowing his mind out that, you know, oh no, here we go again. But if you read the tea leaves, you know that in the Leaf room too. Like, we cannot allow this to happen again. And I think that's what really was disappointing in that. And Nick, I don't know how, you know, you have to live through it. And at times you think the failures that they have would give them an opportunity to learn from that. But I thought last night was just, you know, laid out on a silver platter, a great opportunity to change everything that's been talked about this team. And unfortunately, they didn't come through with it. But what disappointed me was not one guy, even the coach after the game, said we didn't execute well enough and I wasn't good enough, but I won't let that happen again.
Well, to use a golf term, they got a mulligan, right? 24 hours, a little over 24 hours from now. And we'll see what happens in game six. Have a great call, my friend.
All right, guys, hang in there, Sammy.
Thanks, Craig.
All right, keep breathing, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Simmer. Keep up the great work.
Craig Simpson. Hey, he nailed it. He nailed it, right? He's so right. I need to be better.
Mm. But not even that part of it that he nailed. The start of the last answer he gave you there is, how can these guys pull everybody through when they've never been through?
How can you ask someone else to do more when you're not doing?
How can you be
you're not holding up your end of the bargain?
This is how you get through, guys, when you don't have the key to the door. Like when you don't know how to pick a lock. This is how you get through. This is follow me.
Battering ram.
Yeah, like Nathan McKinnon's got a shotgun. He blows off the knob of the door. It's just that part, that first little part, it was like a kick in the you-know-what for me.
Yeah.
I'm concerned. Very concerned.
I don't know what to say.
When I was with the Toronto Marlies, obviously just a video coach there, but we were down 2-1 in a series, and Ben Smith had just won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Benny Smith, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because at that level, it's not the NHL, but it was cool to see someone who had really been through it stop the record in the room when everyone's a little too loose or whatever and be like, hey, not sure you realize this is a moment here, you know, and like who had the cachet. He changed things for us.
You guys know Mitch Marner and his wife are expecting.
I did know that.
Okay.
Like any day now.
Any day now.
Oh, great. Perfect. Actually, Fred VanVleet got really hot for the Raptors after he had a kid.
Dad strength no, after.
But he could miss a game six or game seven.
Oh, my God.
He will be with his wife. Will he not? Aren't they all now?
Well, see, that's a very interesting question.
Think about that for a second.
It's a very interesting question because obviously things have changed. If it were me.
Sammy.
What?
Are you okay?
I don't want to do this.
I'm not telling you anything that's earth-shattering
this
here.
Is,
players
this
today
is,
schedule miss, an early C-section.
Players today
going.
Miss playoffs to be present when their wife has a baby.
Vince Carter graduation ask here.
There's a lot of games would miss.
Just be prepared.
It's game seven.
Just be prepared.
At this point, buddy, I'm prepared for that. Like, I'm prepared.
A natural disaster to blow the roof off the building.
I'm prepared
mid-game.
For Lucifer himself to come in for game seven, boys. Like,
and center ice is opened up into a sinkhole.
Oh, my God.
Is that?
Would it be okay if he played the first period and maybe left the second?
Or maybe like he'd be like the guys on my beer league team, missed the first three shifts. They'd come in like halfway through the first period. Be like, sorry, boys, traffic was bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to sit here and say that, like, I really believe that they'll pull through, but they've just never shown. Last night was so hard to sit through.
Funny is a lot of guys who don't have that natural, like, you know, whatever, are scared of other people thinking they don't and will at least try to fake it. You know what I mean?
And then, but
the consideration to put on an act.
I'll tell you, there's a chance if you're faking it enough, you get your stick up high and you take a bad penalty too.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen that a little bit in this series.
Think so? I'd rather see, you know, sometimes maybe the bluff card would work. Just show me.
How about that penalty like Ridley Gregg took?
It's the dumbest penalty of the year.
Make him pay.
They were dying.
Usually the hockey gods do make you pay.
But then the hockey gods served one up on a silver platter for a 2-on-1 shorthanded.
The only team that pays is the Leafs.
Yeah, they're the only one that has to. We're the sacrifice in Toronto.
Any
pay your tithe,
any concerns on Stolarz?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Would you go to Wall?
No.
No.
Okay.
I'm less confident than I was.
Okay. We got through it. Nobody killed each other. We're good. Right?
Yeah, good is.
Our national hour is next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.